a poll taken several years ago to discover the religious belief of Americans, it was found out that 97% of us believe in some sort of supreme being. It also revealed that 70% of those people stated their belief in a supreme being played no major role in their lives. One could surmise from those stats that there are very few theoretical atheists among us, while at the same time, much of the population of our country are practicing holier-than-thou agnostics. So they're not quite sure there's a God. They're not quite sure is there a God or not a God. So that's a dilemma that faces a lot of people. Sincere faith places God at the center of our decisions, choices, and lives. Faith causes people to take a serious look and bring about a recognition to the fact that the future is wrapped up in the dangers and difficulties of the present. The great heroes of the faith who are mentioned in Hebrews 11 did not seek to define faith so much as they sought to illustrate what faith should mean as they faced the struggles of life. In the inspired testimony concerning Moses, there are several dramatic examples of genuine faith. Moses is one of my favorite people in the Bible. I used to preach a long time ago a series of sermons on biographies of our characters in the Bible. But to me, Moses is an inspiration, not just for us who are trying to make our faith stronger, but for even ministers, because Moses had 3 million or more in his flock to contend with. And so most preachers should use Moses as a sort of an example and a testimony and guide on how to do things the right way. Because of faith, Moses renounced a life of luxury and pleasure. You remember the story when he was a baby, what his mother did. She made a basket because Pharaoh was going to kill all the children 2 years and younger. And she built this basket and put it in the Nile River while his sister looked on the shore and see if what was going to happen. And then Pharaoh's daughter came down to have her daily bath and she saw the basket. And the ironic thing is she recognized the blanket that Moses was wrapped in, and she said, "This is one of the Hebrew babies." She wasn't prejudiced at all. She knew this baby needed a home. And she said, told her maids, says, "We're going to take him back with us." And so Moses was raised in the lap of luxury in Pharaoh's palace. He became one of the royals, Egyptian royals. He was like a silver spoon had been placed in his mouth. He wanted for nothing. He was well-fed, educated, the whole gamut. He was that well-fed. In fact, his Hebrew, or maybe I say his Egyptian name was Moshe Tep, was what Moses' name. Moses is actually an Egyptian name, not a Hebrew name. So Moses was raised in that environment. But you remember the story that they didn't have anyone to nurse baby Moses. And his sister came and said, "Oh, I know a woman who would do it." And guess what? It was his mother. So she not only got to be with Moses, but she got paid for it as well. So there was a lot of things happened there that couldn't have happened just by coincidence. And so as the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter, of course, he could have had any luxury or position of prestige that his heart desired. Today, when there's such an emphasis upon affluence and wealth, Moses would have been considered as the chief among fools to have given up so much. The old saying is, money speaks, and Moses gave that up. Instead of being foolish, history has declared him to be exceedingly wise because of this act of abdication as an Egyptian royal. Moses chose to suffer affliction with the Hebrew people. Only an authentic faith enabled him to visualize hope in this action of identification with an oppressed people. In a day when success is measured in terms of material values, it would be wise for us to take an inventory concerning our earthly treasures, rather than lead a rebellion which would have slaughtered his people. Moses withdrew to the Sinai desert and awaited God's guidance. Have you ever done anything rash and then regret it? We all do at times. We all do. I talked to a friend, my sister's best friend last night, and I let something slip out that I shouldn't have, and I thought, oh, she'll, my sister will kill me when she hears about it, but I hope she'll forget about it. But we can make mistakes with our lips. We can make mistakes through our actions or whatever it is. We make mistakes. But that's when we need to ask God to help us out, regardless of what it is. You know, a lot of people are very miserable about the jobs they have. I talked to a young man at Walmart the other day, and he said he's looking for another job. They're phasing out cashiers there. But he says, I don't like it. Well, you know what? There's a lot of things that we don't like. But you know, when you ask God to take that into consideration, you know, some miracles can happen to where it may not be as bad as you think it is. I've known some people switch jobs and found out, oh, I wish I'd stayed at my old one. Have you ever had that happen or heard of people doing that? Well, it's because we don't take God into consultation. And that's an important thing to remember. But we have select memory loss. We have our memories a lot of times don't tell us, I should have asked God about that. And so we never consult God on matters great or small. Moses did consult God and was rewarded tremendously by God for doing so. Israel was delivered because of obedience to following the commands of God. God led and Israel followed. However, Israel would veer off the path to the disgust of Moses periodically. God performed a miracle in nature that enabled them to journey through the Red Sea on dry ground. I was talking to Dick Huggins the other day, and I was telling him I'm going to preach on Moses and about crossing the Red Sea. He said, well, why don't you tell him he passed his water while he crossed over? I said, Dick, I don't know if I'm going to tell the congregation he's passed his water. That might be a little embarrassing. He said, go ahead. Everybody will laugh about it. Nobody's laughed yet, have they? So anyway, I'll have to report to him today about that at the funeral. But through faith, people find themselves capable of doing that which otherwise would be impossible. In attempting to follow God, where God had led the Israelites, the Egyptian armies were destroyed and Israel escaped to experience God's appointed destiny for them. Do you suppose Moses ever thought he would be in a position where he would put his shepherd's hook out over the Red Sea and say, now see the salvation of the Lord and the waters parted and there was dry ground? I don't imagine Moses ever envisioned doing anything like that in the world. Have you ever thought that God may have a vision for you? Now, I'm not saying you're going to part the Red Sea a second time. But, you know, there are some things that God will have us to do that you will scratch your heads later and say, wow, is that what God had me to do? And it worked. We can be astounded a lot of times by what God will do. But we shortchange God so many times. Now, if you're expecting God to dump a goose that lays the golden egg on your head, you might be disappointed, but some people think that. He may do it, but you know what? There's a lot of things God can do for us, and most of them are small things. Do you ever thank God for getting out of bed in the morning, your feet touching the floor? Isn't that a miracle? Think about the people who can't do that. That is something that you need to praise God about. I can get up in the mornings like that. A lot of people can't, as I've said. But there's also, going back to being affluent and greedy and all that, will it make you happier? Are you happy where you are now? Or would you like more, whatever it is, make you happy? Most people say yes. You know, it astounds me to see how much money politicians raise to run for election. They talk about $30 million like it's pocket change. I don't even know what $30 million would look like. And it's, and to me, and I'm not going to start sounding holier than thou and say, oh, well, they can contribute to the poor. No, they won't do that. But there's a lot that $30 million could do. There's a lot I could do with it, too, if I had it. But I don't think that's going to happen. But we have to realize what God gives you, use it for the glorification of God, whatever it may be. You may have some gifts and talents. You may even surprise Gertie for the bake sale and come out with a cake that may go for $200. I mean, you don't know the gifts that you have within you until you try it. But now see what I'm doing here? It takes steps. Now, sometimes those little steps of faith or leaps of faith, they're in the dark. Close your eyes and try to walk a straight line. It's kind of scary because you're afraid, I'm going to trip up and I could fall. But if God is holding on to us, we don't have anything to worry about. I'm not saying God's going to have you walk blindfolded or anything. But when you do something that you've never done before, that is a scary thing to do, opportunity. But if you know God is involved in it, and if you're praying about it, God will see you through to it. God will. And so we just have to have more confidence that God will take us and hold us while we are trying to do whatever it is God wants us to do. And so, you know, amazingly, can we say we are living a life of faith? Can we? Has this faith led to the decision from pursuing things that could get us into trouble or creating misery for other people through our actions? We know people who constantly want to stir the cauldron up and create chaos and misery for others. Don't be one of those people. Be an encourager to those around you. Be an encourager to yourself. You know, some people hate themselves. Don't do that. God created you. You should allow God to say, hey, love yourself. You know, we know about loving others, but if you don't love yourself, you're not going to be able to love anybody else, are you? So remember that we have a reason for being here. And one of the reasons, and the main reason, is to glorify God. And that is an amazing thing. Has your faith, this faith, led you to a decision from pursuing things that could get you into trouble to helping others out? You know, sometimes we are spellbound by the lure of the almighty dollar, aren't we? Have you ever been seeing people either in a casino or even at the convenience store buying lotto tickets? They're almost like under a spell or hypnotized about it. You know, I've told you stories about me when I worked as a cashier, and people would come up to me want me to bless their lotto tickets because I'm an ordained minister. I had to tell them that doesn't work that way, you know. If it did, I would have been blessing my own lottery tickets. But a lot of times we have that mentality that we can only receive blessing if God is going to reward us through a lot of material things. That doesn't work that way either. There's a lot of things I'm sure each of you could stand up and say, God has done this, this, this for me. And I am a witness and a survivor to it. So don't necessarily assume that if God's not blessed you with some extra money, that's a sign of God's disapproval. That is not the way it goes. And I want to clarify that. In this day of health, wealth, prosperity, theology circulating around, God doesn't work that way. But God wants the best for us. God wants everything to be the best for us. We only have to be open to that. We have to. You know, maybe faith may cause us to advocate favoritism toward those who are unfortunate and in need of a deliverer like Israel sought of Moses. Has faith directed each of us to attempt that which is seemingly impossible based on insurmountable odds? I'm not going to ask you to answer that because you know it whether or not. And it may not have happened yet, but it could. Evan Jones was a Baptist preacher and missionary in the 1800s to the Cherokee. He traveled on horseback throughout the Cherokee country of North Georgia and western North Carolina. He learned their language, culture, and customs thoroughly. Well, what was his moment of crisis, a Red Sea experience? It happened when the federal government were brutally removing the Cherokee from their lands to be sent to Oklahoma. Did Jones abandon them? Not at all. He continued his ministry among them, traveling into isolated regions of the Great Smoky Mountains, providing spiritual and pastoral care to his scattered flocks who were hiding from federal troops. Now, let me stop for a second. Many of us have been through the Great Smoky Mountains, one of the most beautiful places on God's green earth. But say in the early mid-1800s, go by horseback through those mountains before they had any pavement or any rest areas or anything like that, you were practically blazing your own trail. Not just black bear, but you had panthers and cougars. And you had all kinds, not to mention snakes. Well, here he was, finding these isolated Cherokee villages and preaching to them because there were churches in there. And they were hiding from the federal troops. And here he was going back in there. And you know his success was greater than most of the missionaries went in because he learned the difficult Cherokee language. I've got a book on how to speak Cherokee. And it is a difficult language to learn. But he learned it fluently. That's why the Cherokee loved him so. And because of his compassion and loyalty to them, plus his obedience to God. Eventually, Jones relocated to Oklahoma and preached among the Cherokee until his death in about 1872. Some people said Jones would have been better off abandoning the Cherokee and accepted an influential but comfortable county seat church where his powerful sermons could have influenced a lot more people. God blessed Jones for his faithfulness even during the great tragedy called the Trail of Tears. You know, Moses succeeded because his attention was entirely focused upon God. And Moses knew and trusted God, and he obeyed God. Could obedience be considered out of fashion today? We hear stories in school about rebellious attitudes and all that. No respect for authority figures. But that goes for God, too. Do we slam God in the face when we don't heed what God says? We've got the Bible to guide and help us. But a lot of times we ignore even the Ten Commandments or the Lord's Prayer or whatever it is. You know, as I've said to a number of people, I don't want to be about Louis B. Mayer, who added Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer pictures. It was said of him he believed in the Ten Commandments, even the ones he didn't keep. So, what do? We need to learn to be obedient. Does that come overnight? Well, probably for most of us, it wouldn't. But it wouldn't hurt to start trying to be more obedient to God, because obedience brought an entire nation out of the bondage of slavery. Moses discovered God to be dependable and trustworthy. You can't beat something like a record like that. And we can too if we are obedient to God. Well, where is obedience to God in your life noticeable at this moment? Is the Red Sea before you, or have you arrived on the other side yet? Let us pray. Oh God, help us to be more obedient to you. Let us be reminded of all the wonderful things you have done for each person here today. Sometimes we're skeptical that you can reach us and help us out, but you are 100% sure and true to what you say. Help us, oh God, to lift up our faith to you, make it strong and dependent. In this we pray in Christ's name. Amen.